Well, that's good, eh? We serve a mighty God, and this fits in very well with what we're going to be talking about today, and our God is so great, and it's pretty powerful to see that, see Satan get his butt kicked a little bit, eh? We like that. Yeah. He likes to destroy our lives, but God is greater. And the fact that was one of my daughters that was playing Satan, I'm not sure how to take that as my parenting, how that's going, but I'm sure it's all right. So my name is Jep. I'm one of the pastors here. I've been away for a little while, so some of you may not even know who I am, but I've been here for, this is our seventh year of ministry here, and we were brought in to work with the families and kids and youth and different things, and so it's been a wonderful time for us here, and we just took a 3-month sabbatical, which was something we just did out of principle, to get a little rest for our family, and to prepare for the next season here that God had for us. And Pastor Todd just asked if I would share what God's been doing in our hearts. And so Trina's going to share a little bit too, if I can convince her to come up. And you're not too scary looking, so I think we'll do it. Just what God has been doing in our hearts. And so it made sense to talk a little bit about rest today, about the topic of rest, and something that we were just currently involved in, and so it feels like it's the right thing to talk to you about this morning. And so we're going to do a little bit of what we would call a topical study. There's a couple different ways to study God's word and to teach it, and there's verse by verse, chapter by chapter, like we've been doing through the book of Acts, to make sure we have the context and allow God to speak to us. But there's also things that God teaches us from the beginning to end of his word. There's giant themes that run through, and unless we have the whole picture in mind, we don't have the right context. We need the whole word of God as well to help us understand things rightly. So today we're going to look at this topic of rest, which is a very large topic. And there's over 500 references to rest in the Bible. So I can hardly do justice to it today, but we will try to pick out some of the key things that God has been showing us recently. And although we have lots yet to learn about rest, there's some really big things that he's taught us and shown us and we've benefited from. So hopefully they'll be of value to you today. Genesis chapter 2 is all it takes for us to find God starts to talk about rest. Genesis chapter 2. Verse 1, it says, "Thus the heavens and the earth were completed in all their vast array. By the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. And God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creating that he had done." So when I read that, I can't help but ask myself, what did God do when he rested? What was he doing? Was he sitting in a lawn chair? Wasn't quite sure what picture come to mind. I don't think I can probably answer that. I'm not sure what God did while he was resting, but it leads me to ask, well, what do I do when I rest? What are the moments where I feel at rest? And for everyone here today, maybe you can picture a moment when you felt that's the perfect place of rest. And I know for my wife, I know her fairly well. I believe it would, you can tell me if I'm wrong, I believe it would involve a beach chair on the ocean front, the ocean breeze, someone bringing you fancy drinks, a book at your side, beautiful sunny day. Is that about right? Yeah, okay. That's her idea of rest. Not my idea of rest, and we all have our own ideas of rest. For me, I had a great moment of rest the other day on our trip. We went to Australia to visit my sister and her family, and on our way back, our plane stopped in Fiji, and we thought, my goodness, how many times are we going to be going through Fiji in our life? Maybe we should see if we can stay a couple days, and we did. We got to stay, and one of my hobbies from the past has been spearfishing. And there was this little local village right beside our resort, and I got this opportunity. I got in with the locals, and a couple guys were going out spearfishing, and they wanted to take me. And I was like, oh, baby. And there's a moment out in the ocean. We drive out in this boat that's leaking. I'm bailing as he's using this pole to get us out there, thinking, this is great. This is not Trina's idea of rest. This is leading to mine. As we go out there into this ocean and found out that I said, is there lots of sharks around? He said, oh yeah, you'll see lots of sharks. Oh, okay, that's great. And we jump in the water, and he says, oh, and there's lots of strong riptides here that'll pull you out, so just be careful of that. Okay, okay. I jump in the water, and we start spearfishing. And I'm having the time of my life. And there's a moment when we're spearfishing, and I'm watching these guys, and they're just amazing, and it's so fun. And there's this moment where I see this fish that I'm familiar with from the past, and I know its habits. You know, these guys are racking up fish left and right. I'd caught kind of a half a fish so far, and I saw this fish that I know his habits. And I see him, and he dives into the coral, and then he kind of tries to hide on you. And so I saw him in this spot, and so I was sitting there, and I knew exactly what was about to take place. I'd wait for the right moment, I would shoot him, and I would bring him home for dinner. And there's a moment where I'm floating in the ocean, and I'm having to wait for this fish to be in the right spot. He's under the coral, he's just kind of hiding there, and I'm in this incredible reef in Fiji, one of the most beautiful reefs in the world, and I'm sitting there floating, just bobbing in the ocean waves. I've got my gun, and I'm ready. And I have the biggest grin you have ever seen on my face. I'm probably giggling in my snorkel. I don't know what that sounds like. And I'm just waiting for that moment. And that moment, I still go back to that moment. I had these thoughts in my head, because I had to wait for maybe 2 minutes. This is perfect. This is rest for me. So that's my picture of rest. We all have our own pictures. When we think of rest, what does rest look like for you? I'm sure it's going to be different than it looks like for me. But rest is a biblical principle. It's something that God talks about in his word from beginning to end. And the way a biblical principle works is God says, hey, you want a good life? Do this. You want to enjoy life? Get the most out of life? Do it this way. Now, he's given us free will and we have a choice. And he says, if you do it that way, well, that's going to lead to pain and sorrow and suffering. You can choose that if you want, but it's up to you. So a biblical principle, God gives us these things to help us. And so rest is one of these principles that he's given us in his word. And rest, we have to rightly understand with another value, which God talks about, is work. If we don't understand the principle of rest, he says, don't be a sluggard. There's a value in working hard. And that is one of God's value. And so we have this value of work that we have to understand rightly with rest. These two things go together. Work and rest. There's some tension between those two things. Am I supposed to be working or resting? I can even focus on scriptures that talk about working and work myself into the ground. But God says, no, there's another side here. You got to balance that somehow. So there's this tension between these two things. And I can rest so much that I don't get a whole lot done in life. And that's not God's best either. There's some tension there that we have to get comfortable with when it comes to rest. And so the first thing that I think God speaks to us about, from what I can understand, is this idea of physical rest. He's given us bodies and minds, and it's important that we give them times of rest. So daily, God created us to need sleep. Every day, you shut down for several hours and sleep. You go into a coma where you're unaware of the world around you. That's God's design for you and me. He's forced us to rest every single day. That's how important it was for us. I used to, as a young man, hate sleep. I used to be frustrated. God, why did you create us to sleep? Think of how much we could get done if we didn't sleep. Twice as much. I didn't understand it for the longest time. My six-year-old hates going to bed. It's the worst part of the day. It's probably the same in anyone who has had children. It's the worst part of the day. Every time I know what's coming, it's time to go to bed. Oh, man! It's never, okay, that's great. I need some rest. That's going to be one. It's never like that. It's always the end of the world. But God designed us to sleep. He talks about here, right in Genesis chapter 2, he establishes the week. God did that. Man didn't create that. It wasn't man's idea. God established the week. And this idea of taking a day of rest, working and resting, this is God's idea. And he talks about this Sabbath day and the importance of having a day where you break from your routines of work and school and things like that. It's not that it's not possible to work every day, and it's not that it's not that we're not capable of working day in and day out. We might be able to do it physically, but we will not be at our best. And God knows that. He designed us. He knows what we need to be at our best. He also talks in his word about taking a seasonal rest. And that's what we did. Out of principle, we took some time as a family to rest. And it's not easy to do something like that. You have to save up money and all kinds of things to make that happen. And he talks about that in his word, about saving up for that season and taking a season of rest. They're not easy to do. But I'm always amazed how I feel after a time of sabbatical. I wish I could tell you that my first one was my great idea. I read God's word, saw this principle, and applied it. Unfortunately, I was in a state where I needed a sabbatical. And if I didn't take one, I was useless. I'd run myself too hard. There were other things that I wasn't handling well. And just got to a point of exhaustion and had to take one. But boy, did I learn the value of it. Even though I was forced into one, I now understand the principle and have enjoyed the principle and have benefited from it. And now, for me going into this next season, I'm not the same guy I was 4 months ago. I'm not going to be the same husband, the same pastor, the same dad. I'm going to be a healthier guy because I followed one of God's principles and did that. And that's what God does. It's for our benefit. It seems to God that we need a schedule that's manageable, that has some margin built in. And there's lots of reasons, but probably one of maybe his most important reasons seems to be so that we have time for the many responsibilities and the people we have in our life. One area is not supposed to suck our entire life, but there's a number of things. I'm a husband. My wife needs me. I'm a dad. My kids need me. I'm a church member. My church needs me. I live in a house in a neighborhood. My neighbors need me. There's people in my life all around me, and it seems that God needs to get through to us. Maybe it's through rest, but that we need to have time and space in our lives for the people around us. And I believe rest is part of that. It's a time to shift our mind to other things and to give them some time and attention that they need. So we need to rest from our normal routines, whether it's work or school or parenting. And I know for being that it's Mother's Day here, we have lots of moms, and I think moms are one of the hardest people. If you're a stay-at-home mom or a stay-at-home dad, one of the hardest things to do is to find a break from that, because every day people need to eat. Every day the laundry's piling up. Every day people are making a mess. And it doesn't stop. And so to build rest into your schedule for a mom is not easy to do. But it's still God's best for you. And as family, we need to work together to help our moms get rest as well. If your life is not lived with margin, then you're missing God's best for you. Life is busy, and it is so for all of us. It's busy, but if it's too busy, that's because of a choice you're making. So don't be fooled. Don't justify it. If your life is too busy and it feels like you can't control it, it's not true. And for some of us here today, we're caught in a cycle of going like crazy, and there's no margin, there's no time for God to work in these other areas of your life. And God's hope for you is that you would embrace this principle of rest, that life wouldn't be so busy that it's out of control. And we have to make the choice to not let it be that way sometimes. There's a verse in Jeremiah chapter 6 where God is talking to the nation of Israel and he wants them to find rest. And in verse 16 of chapter 6, it says, this is what the Lord says. It says, stand at the crossroads and look, ask for the ancient paths. Ask where the good way is and walk in it, and you will find rest for your souls. But you said, we will not walk in it. And so we have to realize Israel made a choice not to walk. God wants us to find rest. He's got it for us, each one of us. But it's a choice that we have to make, to want it, to make room for it, and to live by his principles. So for some here today, I believe there's a huge need to find physical rest. At this point, I am going to do a better job in the coming days than I would have 4 months ago, because my mind is sharper, my body is rested, and I'm enjoying the blessing of the principle of rest. So physical rest is important, but I found there's something happened when I first started to embrace this principle of rest. As a younger man, and I was working as an electrician initially in my life before I got involved in pastoring. And as an electrician, I tried to start to apply these principles. Don't work every day, have some rest. And I'd go and do some fun things with my family. But a new problem began to arise as I embarked on this journey of discovering rest. And it really, something went on inside me for a number of years, something I was wrestling with. It seemed that when I would take time on the weekend, it seemed that the weekend suddenly was never long enough. It always ended too soon. Suddenly work was there, and Sunday nights I would start kind of go into a depression. Oh man. Monday's coming already. And then I wouldn't want to go to bed. I don't want to go to bed because as soon as I go to bed, I got to wake up and then it's Monday. So I'm going to stay up late and get every minute I can of rest. So this sounds like my 3-year-old, isn't it? We're not so, don't change a whole lot in life sometimes. This principle I began to struggle with it a little bit. I was getting physical rest and that was good, but there was something else going on deeper. And no matter how long my holidays were, whether it was 1 week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, never failed. As the end was drawing near, depression started setting in. Oh man, I gotta go back to work. I've just used up all my holidays. And then I try and make the best of those last few moments, right? Am I alone in this? Okay. It's a struggle we find when it comes to rest. So as the years went on, I began to ask myself, what's wrong with me? Why is this going on? And I began to realize that in seeking rest, and I was doing things that I enjoyed, my selfish nature started to get involved. It's like, yeah, you like this rest. You don't like that other stuff. This is what you like. You want more of it. And it didn't take long to realize that my selfish nature is a bottomless pit. It's never satisfied. No matter how much good and enjoyment I have, it's never enough. And I found that that was at the heart of my times of rest, that my selfish nature was being fed and began this struggle inside. It took me a long time, but eventually I started to realize that there's an important part of rest that was missing. There's an important part that has to be there, or this is just not helping me. And Psalm 62, King David knew the answer. And we're going to read it today. Psalm 62, verse 1 and 2. He says it as matter of a fact as you can say it. He says, my soul finds rest in God alone. My salvation comes from Him. He alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will never be shaken. The fact is that only God can truly give us rest for our souls, for our spirit inside. Nothing else in this world will satisfy that. David understood that his soul had to find rest in God. And he did, and he found it there. When God is truly my all in all, my closest friend, my King, my Lord, that is where my soul finds rest. Until my soul finds rest in God, everything else feels empty. But when my soul finds rest in God, everything else becomes a blessing, a pure blessing. When He is in the right place and I find my rest in Him and He satisfies my soul completely, then suddenly the recreation in life is a blessing. I can truly enjoy it because it's not trying to meet some need in me that it was never meant to do. But God is meeting that need in me. And so rest is in its right place and recreation is in its right place. And when God is in His right place, then everything is a blessing. Every friendship isn't something that I need so desperately that I'm depressed and frustrated by a lack of friendship or friends aren't meeting my needs the way they need to. No, God meets that need. And when God is in the right place with rest, it's the same principle. Then we can truly enjoy these other things and enjoy physical rest as well. King David knew this. The Apostle Paul knew this. In Philippians chapter 4, he says that he was content with little and he was content with much. Here's a guy who accomplished probably more in the Christian kingdom than anybody else on the planet. He was a busy guy. But he found rest in God. He found contentment in God. Jesus understood this. He ministered to crowds of people. Thousands of people followed Him around. Needy. Needy people following. Can you imagine 1,000 needy people following you around all day? That's busy. You think you're busy. But Jesus would what? He would take time away to get alone and receive from His Heavenly Father. Because He knew that His soul needed that time with Him. And that's where His rest would come. Our soul longs for intimacy with our Heavenly Father. When anything else takes the place of God in our lives, whether it's our career, money, or our hobbies and our rest, it has become an idol and it's replaced God. And idols will always leave us unsatisfied. Sometimes even worse. One of the things I love about the Lord is it's never enough to read something and learn it from His Word. He likes to make sure you're applying it in your life. And this week, as I was preparing, of course, God wanted to make sure I understood this message. I'm not just up here speaking it like I know what I'm talking about. Now, we're going to make sure you've got this. Let's see how well you understand this principle. And so, this week on Tuesdays is a night where we often have meetings here at the church, but every once in a while I get a free Tuesday and there's a group that go running out in the coulees, and one of my favorite hobbies is going out running, and I enter in a couple races every year just to motivate myself to get out there and train a little bit, and I love being out there. It's one of those places where I find rest. And so Tuesday is coming, the work day has come to an end, and I'm driving home, and it suddenly hits me. Hey, it's run day. All right, I'm starting to get excited. A little more perk in my drives. I'm driving home. I'm excited about this. Go for a little run in the coulee. Yeah, it's going to be good. And by the time I arrived home, I was had a hot skip in my step and come in the door, and nobody's home. Okay, well, get all my running stuff on and go find my running shoes. And where are my running shoes? They're not where I left them. Where are my running shoes? Well, my wife is so kind that she cleans up after me all the time, and I'm sure she'd probably just put them somewhere, which I appreciate so much. So I started looking places she would probably put them, and no shoes to be found. So I started looking in places she wouldn't normally put them. No shoes to be found. Now at this moment, I would love to tell you that I was in such a place of rest with the Lord. He was my all in all. And I was just like, if I can't go for a run today, that's okay. Because you're all I need, Lord. I wish I could tell you that. But there was something building inside me, and it wasn't that. And as I searched the house high and low, I could not find my shoes. So I call my wife. Bing, 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 bing. No answer. 30 seconds later, bing, bing, bing. Where's my shoes? No answer. Third time, bing, 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 bing. Where's my shoes? Nobody's answering. So as frustration is building inside me, I sit on the couch. I give up. I'm just sitting there steaming. I'm waiting for them to come home. Boy, when they get home. And it occurred to me, they're not in the house. Somebody is wearing my shoes. Somebody wore my running shoes out of the house. And they don't even fit them. How could they be? They're wearing my shoes. The steam is rising. Whoever that is, when they come in the door, it's it. I brought them into this world, and I'm taking them out. Those were my honest thoughts. There was no rest there at that moment. Needless to say, God used my three-year-old to teach me about rest this week. She saw my shoes, took them outside, and saw a pile of garbage and thought, I'm going to throw Daddy's shoes in the garbage. I have no idea why. And then he used my teenage daughter, who my wife asked to go outside, pick up that pile of garbage, and throw it in the dumpster. And my teenage daughter saw my running shoes, but thought they belonged in the garbage, apparently, and threw them out with everything else. So thank you, Lord, for my family, which you used to disciple me in this area of rest. He's working on me. Isn't family great? Living day in and day out with everybody. I love my family so much. And God uses our family, doesn't he? He uses family to work on us. And they're wonderful, and they do. I don't want to paint the picture that I don't love them to death, because I do. But at that moment, I wasn't at my best. And I wasn't finding rest. So whenever we feel stress and anxiety, something other than God is probably taking his place. My soul needs to find rest in God alone. We need seasons of rest, but in every season, God wants you to find rest as well. On our trip, our sabbatical season, we built in special things. I did studies on different topics to try and do some find spiritual rest, and we did things like that. We went to Florida for the Ron and Ken show, which was wonderful, and get more healed. But every season of life, God has rest for us. And it's good to take a day of rest, and it's important to build into that day spiritual rest, time with God, where he meets you. Suddenly, you spend a little bit of time in the word and prayer and worship, and suddenly the rest of the day, it doesn't matter what you do, and you'll really enjoy it that much more. But God wants to give you rest in every day as well. And even more than that, God wants to give you rest in every moment. And as I was preparing, I felt like God was saying, tell them I'm there every moment. I'm not just there on Sabbath. I'm not just there in the seasons of rest. I'm there to give you rest every day. So when you're anxious or stressful or worried or afraid, just freeze in the middle of it. He's offering his rest to you in that moment, and you can reach out and take it. He's offering it. Whatever you're going through, whatever the burden is, whatever's overwhelming you, God has rest for you there. And we can reach out and get it. Whether it's stop and pray, stop and worship, stop and read God's word, his peace will come. His rest will come for us. So in closing here, we wanted to hear a little bit from Trina. And with rest, all these different kinds of burdens that are there, the enemy loves to keep us burdened. And as I mentioned, when we went to Florida as part of our sabbatical, because we saw the importance of how our personal journey in healing leads to spiritual rest and that there's a value there. I wish I could say it was my idea to go to Florida for our sabbatical, but the truth is it was Trina's idea. And so it'd be great to hear from her just on how making that step. And I know we talk a lot about healing here, but how our healing journey helps us to find that spiritual rest. So Trina, why don't you come and just share for a minute about that? She's a little nervous, but you guys are friendly, right? You won't bite. Let's welcome her.
Good morning. So, just the fact that I can stand here today in front of you is great evidence of healing that's been done in my life. So, Jep mentioned that we decided to go to Florida for a week in January. And I think it's interesting to point out on the flight down, Jep turned to me and he said, "Tree, I hope I'm not going to waste their time."
Thanks for pointing that out.
And I thought to myself, I don't think you need to worry. But my next thought was, and this is where my healing journey begins. They probably won't have enough time for me. So that's where my heart was when we were on our way. So 7 years ago, I stood here on Mother's Day, and I shared with those of you who were here that I didn't think that there was another girl who had ever experienced the faithfulness of God like I had in my life, that I could look back at just many years of brokenness and less than ideal situations. But through it all, I could see the faithfulness of God so clearly. And it was exciting for me to stand here and give testimony to that. but today, I stand here and say that I don't know if there's ever been another girl who has ever felt more cherished by her Heavenly Father. And that, for me, has changed my life. The last 7 years have been a journey of me asking him to come into my brokenness And the surprising thing for me was to see him emerge from within my brokenness, saying, I'm already here. Come on in. And let me tell you what I have to say. And so I did that. And and it's been amazing. It's been full of tears and full of joy and full of revelation and full of finding my true identity and freedom from the effects of brokenness. I don't say that I am freedom from brokenness, because I know I'll never have that until I'm in heaven with my Father. But he desires for me to live a life on this earth that is free from the effects of brokenness. So he took my hand the last 7 years, and we walked into the inner places of my heart where hurt and pain had resided for a long time, and we started deconstructing it. And he would take me back to situations, and we would look at them together, and he would say, you know how you felt right there in that moment? That was shame that made you feel that way. But you know what I thought of you in that moment? And he would start to tell me what he thought of me. And he did that over and over. He also told me not to beat myself up for having these internal battles. That it meant that I was a warrior. That I had courage and fortitude and devotion to my leader. And that I had his strength to listen to only his voice. And we would go into these battles together. I did not have to be ashamed in those moments where my enemy was telling me, you're a mess. You're 40 something and you're still thinking the same things and reacting the same ways as when you were not 40 something. But that didn't matter, because he was there with me. And he was replacing the things that were causing me to overthink my pain, overthink my probably elevated in my own brain level of brokenness. He actually showed me I really wasn't as broken as I thought. And that was really cool. So, like I said, the last 7 years, my Father and I have done a lot of work together, and he's been so gracious and kind and gentle, and he's used so many of you to be a reflection of his heart toward me. And I have to say thank you to you, because there's so many of you that have stepped into this journey of inner healing for yourselves. And you need to know that gives me courage. Jeff's the funny one. I'm the emotional one. Gives me courage to stand here before you, because I know that so many of you are walking the same road with me. Thank you for making this safe for me to be candid and transparent. We went to Florida because, like Jeb said, I said to him, I think I need to go to Florida. I just felt the sense that there were as much ground that had been gained, I felt like there were still some areas where my tires were spinning a little bit. And I just couldn't grasp a hold of as tightly as I wanted to the truth. And so off we went. And it was an amazing time where God just, he had already pulled out so many roots. And new roots were starting to be deposited. But our time in Florida was a time of him very gently going deeper. And he pulled out a couple of really big roots that I didn't even know were there. And as those big ones came out, it was like that soil just got all turned over and loosened up. And all of a sudden, all those little baby roots of the truths that he had been speaking to me, they just went like this. They just sunk deep down. And I came home understanding my identity as a daughter of the Most High King like I'd never known before. And came home knowing no matter what goes on in my heart, in my life, in my family, in my church, I know where my true home is. And that's beside my Father in heaven. Because it's Mother's Day, I just wanted to quickly share how that's affected me as a mom. The biggest way is I now approach motherhood as a daughter instead of a mother. Because my first identity is as the daughter of the God of heaven and earth. He sees me as his daughter before he sees me as anything else. So being a daughter of the Most High King is my identity. And motherhood is my calling. And I'm finding that as I dwell in my true identity, my soul finds rest and peace. And he fills me with all I need to walk in my calling as a mom. And when I mess up in my calling as a mom, which happens regularly, it doesn't gut me anymore. Because now I know that being a mom isn't about perfectly mothering, but about being perfectly loved in all my imperfections by a perfect father. When God first started walking me through these 7 years of healing past hurt and brokenness, I would often feel like I could hear him saying to me, look up, Jean, look up, look up. Just look at me, look at me. And that got me through a lot of challenging times. After our sabbatical and our time in Florida, I now feel like he's not asking me to look up anymore. He's right here holding my chin and saying, I'm here, I'm right here. Just look at me, look at me. And we can do this together. So I just want to leave you with a verse that has come to mean a lot to me. And I hope it can mean something to all of you amazing moms that I just enjoy the privilege of walking with every day. It says, because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion. Therefore, I will wait for him. The Lord is good to those who hope, whose hope is in him, to the one who seeks him. It is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. And that just, I think, ties in to what Jeff was saying about rest and how our soul and our spirit finds rest in his presence.
Wow, I think Todd's going to ask Trina to preach next time instead of me. She's getting good. Wow. Well, thank you, Trina, for sharing that and sharing personally how you found rest in the Lord. And you know, there's different areas that the enemy wants to burn us down, but God wants us to find rest. Sometimes struggling with sin burns us down. Sometimes it's wrong thinking. There's endless things that want to burden us down. But I leave you with the words of Jesus this morning from Matthew chapter 11. Matthew 11, verse 28, he says, "Come to me, you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." So let's pray. Heavenly Father, I just thank you that you would love us so much, that you would give us your word with principles that we can live by, to understand life that you've created us to live in, to understand how things work, to understand ourselves better, to understand you. And I thank you that you desire to be our source for rest. And Lord, we're all on a different journey and a different place. None of us are fully healed. None of us are fully there. But Lord, I pray for everyone who's here today, that every single person would learn more how to find their rest in you today. Whatever burdens of life are holding them down, tying them down, weighing them down. Lord, you're big enough. We saw in that drama today, you are big enough. Our God is greater than any problem we face. And there is rest to be found in you. Only rest is to be found in you. And so, Lord, I just pray for my friends today here. Oh, God, that we would be a people that live in your rest, your freedom, and your healing. That you would pour it out over us like a drink offering. We would receive of it season by season, day by day, and moment by moment. We would just learn how to live in your rest, God. Oh, that's the perfect place to be. So we'll have teams up here that were willing to pray with you today. If you need to come meet with the Lord, find his rest. There's people here to help, to pray and support you. So feel free to come. There's gifts for the moms as you're leaving today. There's dinner after church. So lots to do today, but don't miss your opportunity to come and find that rest. If you need special prayer today, in Jesus' name, amen. Find me.